This is Drift, Immigration and Identity in America. I'm your host, Melissa Camara, a Hawaii-based artist and conservationist. And in this series of interviews, I'll be talking to immigrants, their descendants, and Native people to find out how homelands, new and old, are shaped by our ties to land, as well as those who've immigrated to Kodiak, Alaska, America's second largest island and home to one of the busiest fishing and processing ports in the United States.
Last time, we heard from Bernadette Villarroya, an accountant from Kodiak. Today, we interview four women, young and middle-aged, who are working in all kinds of places, from the fishing canneries of Kodiak to the offices of the city manager.
My name is Nita Nicholas, and I'm 65. I work with the city manager at the municipal building. Okay, I was born in Ilocos Norte.
My name is Mary Jane, 54. My job is working at the cannery. I was born in the Philippines, Pampanga.
I'm Danella Beltran, and I am 22 years old.
Okay.
We moved here about 6 years ago from the Philippines. I came from the South. I work now for the city of Kodiak, fiscal specialist.
My name is Lisa Pasqua, and I am 58 years old. And my occupation currently is coordinator billing. Now I'm currently working for the Kodiak Area Native Association.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you for coming. What was that like, just being the pioneers, being at the forefront?
There's a lot of changes here in Kodiak. When I first came back in 82, there was no Safeway, no Walmart. It has changed a lot. We only had a few banks. Everybody would have to go to Anchorage to do their shopping and bring all this stuff back here.
Now, you've been in Connery for how many years?
Oh, since
the beginning.
Yes.
Okay, but that's a long time, right? Because, you know, that's like, 20, 30 years?
More than that.
She started probably when she was 17, 18 years.
Wow. Yeah, something like that.
Right. And what's your job there? What do you do?
Doing queso. They do the processing, and we do the process the finished product.
I see. Okay. And is it hard? Is the work hard or is it pretty easy? You've been doing
it
a long time, right?
I'm used to it. It's not really that hard.
Okay.
We have just to put the fish in the box.
Okay.
Counting like the box, something like that.
It's the long hours.
Long hours. Is it physical job? Is it hard on your body or not too bad?
No.
Because you're just putting the boxes together.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay,
the only thing is hard is like you've been standing up for a long time.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
12, 14,
but you're not that
hours.
Much older than me, so I'm trying to imagine. You have to wear comfortable shoes and everything's
not. Wear boots.
Boots, right. Which are not comfortable, yes.
Water boots.
Or not. Yes,
no,
comfortable, not comfortable.
They're not.
No. It's kind of heavy a little bit.
Okay. And do you work by yourself? Are you in charge of people, or how does it?
Actually, I work with them, but sometimes my lead person, sometimes where they're gone. I'm the one who's doing the tell to the people what they do.
Oh, okay. So you are guiding people to do their jobs.
And also I'm doing tally.
Tally is the
all the
marking,
fish,
marking up the boxes
and then counting
how many.
How many fish are in a box? Like, I don't know. The first
depends
thing,
on
I'm from Hawaii.
It depends on the weight.
Okay.
Yeah, they put as much as they can to make it into 10 pounds.
Or sometimes 50 pounds.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's a lot of keeping track. I would definitely be terrible at that job. Tell me, if you were not born here in Alaska, where's home for you and how did you get here to Kodiak?
I first started working in the cannery. And then I worked at the hospital. That I also drug cab.
Oh my gosh, you've had lots of different jobs. Tell me about what you're doing now.
I work with the city manager. So the city manager oversees all the projects from the city.
Okay.
He's the director for all the department heads. And so I'm also just got done with the municipal election. I volunteer for the election.
So it's an encouraging turnout then,
yes,
you know,
yeah,
to have people involved,
yep,
who
yep.
can vote and
mm-hmm.
and do all of that. And you're doing projects.
HR is also under the city manager.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one who does the background check.
Okay.
So.
Okay. So it's a lot of different responsibilities, I think, mm-hmm. for both. You
I
have
three boys.
Three
and
boys. Wow.
Eight
okay.
grandchildren.
Oh my goodness. Wow. So you were a single mom raising kids here in Kodiak,
mm-hmm.
kind of giving them the island life, which
yep.
is different than, you know, where you're from, being the cold and all.
I'm just blessed to have
mm-hmm.
good children.
Mm-hmm.
So they keep me. They inform me wherever they are,
mm-hmm.
and I was able to, mind you, I work a full-time job and two part-times, so
it's
I can
so
provide.
I mean, the Filipinos, I know this is a stereotype, but it's true that we are so industrious
mm-hmm.
and hardworking.
But my children knew that I'm working hard,
mm-hmm.
so they tried to... be a good boy.
mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
I'm sure.
Don't get into trouble.
I want to switch to your story. You tell me.
Okay.
Linda,
here you go. Okay.
How has that transition been for you,
going from
you know, the South
mm-hmm.
to Kodiak?
I came here with my mom, so my dad basically brought my mom. You know, it was a struggle at first,
mm-hmm.
adapting to the new culture, integrating
mm-hmm.
to, like, you know, the new school structure.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I barely spoke English, and
really?
Seriously.
Because your English is absolutely
no.
perfect. It really, I would have thought you were born here. Okay.
I mean, I can understand the language, it's just that I couldn't spoke it at that time, because the only reason I understand it because English and math and science are taught in English in the Philippines.
Right, right.
So that's pretty much the reason.
You know, I guess the question I'm really curious about, apart
mm-hmm.
from all the different jobs you've had,
mm-hmm.
the many different jobs,
mm-hmm.
you know, you've had, the different climates, the different cultures, how do you feel, the fundamental thing I'm asking folks is, how do you feel in terms of, like, being American or being Filipino? Do you feel like you're firmly in the middle? Do you feel like you lean more to one side or one culture than the other? And there's no right or wrong here, right? It's all so individual. And I know sometimes people tell me it changes depending on who they're with, right? They might
yeah.
feel more American.
Filipinos are pretty adaptable. That's what I noticed, though. Or I would say I could relate to being a Filipino more.
Mm-hmm. How so?
Because I was basically raised in the Philippines,
right.
and so
right.
the culture, the traditions, and all the values I still carry with me.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
like right now, I can even, when I compare myself, I'm more like the conservative type.
Mm-hmm. How so?
When, I don't know, like the way we're just brought up there, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, here at first it was funny because when it comes to, like, partying, I don't party a lot.
Mm-hmm.
In the Philippines, we don't, you know, age like me doesn't really party a lot, I feel like. And then I'm more like, what is it called? Like, the way I dress as well.
Mm-hmm. More modest. Maybe.
Yeah, more modest.
More, you know,
mm-hmm.
less wild.
Yes, I would say that. Like, even, like, sometimes at school, I see, like, students, like, you know, even say, like,
yeah.
you know, doing, like, public display of affection
yeah.
and all
oh,
that.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I'm
right.
not...
Yeah.
Yeah, I was shocked at first,
mm-hmm.
yeah. like, to see students just kissing on the side. I'm like, oh, no.
No, we wouldn't be doing that
no.
there.
No.
So is that a cultural thing unique to your family because your family is conservative socially, or in the society you grew
that's
up
what
in,
I
people
noticed.
Just don't do that sort of thing.
Yes,
there.
That's what I noticed in the society that I grew up in.
Okay, okay,
yeah.
okay.
They're very conservative, the way they dress, the way they talk,
yeah.
or the way they even behave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And tell me, what about you and your, you know, where does your identity flow to?
You know,
so many years.
To be honest, when I came from, you know, from Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
you know, the language that I spoke was English and Ilocano.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came to Kodiak, everybody talks to me Tagalog, which I had no clue. It was like,
what are you talking? I can't. Yeah. And just because I was Filipino, they think that I did not, how do you say it? Like I'm embarrassed about my culture, but I wasn't. It was a hard for people, especially when I was working in the cannery. The way they would look at me, and I said, I don't speak Tagalog. And basically that was the main dialect.
And my understanding, because I don't speak any at all, is that there's a hierarchy or perceived hierarchy between Filipino, aka Tagalog, and other languages, of which there are many, right? And so tell me a little bit about that.
So when I moved here, like I said, when I moved here, there was only, I mean, three languages that I could understand, which is, you know, the Pangasinan or Pangalaturk or the Ilocano. And it was really hard. And I, you know, because I was born in the Philippines and it was my culture that I always going to value. I mean, but it was a struggle for me because the language here in Kodiak mostly is Tagalog. And so, but because the career that I was doing, you know, that I worked for was the hospital, and people that I work with kind of helped me through that. I mean, my Tagalog might not be fluently, but I tried and strive to learn their language because it was so important. For me to learn the language is because the place that I used to work. When I first work at the hospital, there's only a few Filipino, and not everybody knows how to speak the language I spoke.
So you basically picked up another language.
I did. And, you know, having to pick up that extra language, you know, not, I can't say I'm popular, but it's, there was a lot of help outsourced out there that I was able to provide them, you know, especially when it comes to financial, it's burden on them with their hospital bill. That was the one thing that I was good on. I, you know, I might not know the language, but I tried to speak the language and they will try to understand me. Even if it probably didn't under, you know, made sense the way I spoke the language, the, Tagalog, but that tells you that how much I love my culture because I strive to learn, you know, the main dialect, which is Tagalog. And I have to say, you know, and I guess I am blessed to adapt Tagalog language because you would not believe how much Filipino that I have helped here in this community.
So in learning this this language as an adult.
As an adult, yes.
You know, you're now able to give back.
Yes.
To your community and
to my Kababayan.
Kababayan.
I love
that. And which means
is it like more of a my culture?
Yeah, like my fellow Filipinos, like my people.
And what languages do you speak or do you?
So I actually speak Visayan, and that's my primary language. English is, I consider it my second because the same as Antilisa here, I actually just learned Tagalog when I moved in Korea.
Oh my goodness, so you are another one that you picked up another language.
Yeah. I remember like mixing Visayan and Tagalog when I first moved here. Yeah, it's crazy.
Hard,
like, you know, my fellow Filipino actually laughed at me like, what are you talking about? Oops, I'm actually mixing stuff. So, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. That's really amazing. And so tell me, I wanted to know where you feel like on the cultural spectrum in terms of, you know, how American versus how Filipino you are. Like, do you feel like you really have a foot in both worlds? Do you feel more like inclined to one versus the other? Does that depend on the situation?
I think I put myself more into the Filipino, you know, side of it because just because I was born there, raised, and I was raised there. I mean, even if I was only 7 years old when I came to America, but when I went back to the Philippines, I appreciate it more. And back in 1998 is when I went back.
Okay.
And that's where I got to learn more of the culture.
I see.
And,
I see.
You know, even, I mean, I went back in 1976, but I, of course, I was still a child. But then as I got older, I appreciate my culture and, you know, the Filipino. And I think that's probably why, you know, there's a lot of people out there that I kind of help, especially the poor people.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Can you talk a little bit about the work that you do now?
So what I do now is also what I've been doing in the past, like not just billing, but, you know, I do work for a Native corporation, a tribal, and there's now, because the Kodiak Area Native Association became a community. Mm-hmm. It's not just Native that they see. Mm-hmm. They see different kind of a culture, you know. So now there's more Filipino that comes to our clinic. So then there's more that I'm helping. So it's like carrying it on again, you know.
That's neat.
Yeah.
So you're seeing Filipinos and then would it be a Lutik?
Mixed. It's a Native. It's more of Alutec, Native.
Others.
Yeah.
Do you, as, you know, in this clinic, I know that you're working on billing and other things, but I mean, I'm hyper aware, having talked to others in the field studying health disparities. Are you acutely aware of those in seeing people come in and...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's just hardcore.
I mean...
Hypertension. I hear about, like,
get familiar with all these patients or clients. And they know. I mean, they will just come in. And because they know I work there, they'll ask for me specifically. Even there's other people. And they'll ask and say, hey, you know, I got this bill. It doesn't have to be... the bill that they'll show me is outside my job area. It could be Providence.
Yeah,
it could be somewhere else or outside in Anchorage. They'll say, you know, I have this, what can I do? And I said, let's make a phone call. Let's get your financial aid. Let's see if we can get you qualified.
Right.
So it's not just where I work, but outside my work area.
Yeah, that's so interesting because, you know, the health problems are many, right, among our people and among the Native people. And, you know, it's something to contend with, right? And that this is kind of what I was really struck by. I was speaking with someone earlier who's a Lutik and who talked about, you know, the tragedies that have, you know, touched her life in her family. And I just thought, oh, colonialism. Here we go. It's like, yes, there are similar, there is so much overlap and not to mention intermarrying too, which is like a whole other subject of like really super interesting,
you know,
to see that, right?
Like when back then in the 80s, you know, I think the population now in Kodiak has doubled because back then it was like 5,000 when I when I first came here. So it's basically growing and growing. And but I know the fishing industry is just going down and down. But I have to say, Kodiak has changed a lot.
Yeah. How do you feel about the changes?
To be honest, it's kind of sad not to see a lot of fish workers, you know, like the fishermen's. And, you know, back then it was like so busy.
Booming.
It's booming. I'm saying, you know, it's us, the people that would give up working because constantly boat is coming in and, you know, because they have changed all the quota and all this now. So it's limited that they can bring in. Because if you bring in more, then they get fined. So, but there's a lot of changes of, you know, the fishing industry especially. And it's been slow for a while.
Okay, so economically it's been a challenge. I mean, especially during the pandemic. And it's just like Hawaii where it's just probably very visitor dependent too, I imagine. And mixed with like, you know, subsistence and people trying to live off the land and... do commercial fishing and
there's a lot of fishermen that owns boat that might have sold there.
I see.
Yeah, so like where my husband works, he works for Ocean Beauty, and for so many years they've been doing king crab, and now for the past 10 years, they stopped buying handcraft because it's too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
They can't afford to sell those because, you know, like, for example, now it's like a box. It costs $800.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Yeah. So.
So what does your husband do?
So my husband works for Ocean Beauty for 43 years.
Okay.
And so he's been there with the same company.
Okay.
And then especially, I mean, like I said, last Saturday he had his 60th birthday.
Oh.
And he was on the paper for the longest
oh, wow.
that stayed in the
okay.
In the canary, 43
okay.
years of service.
Okay. Wow.
So.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what? I want to switch to you and ask you what your, you know, future plans are. Do you imagine staying in Kodiak? Do you imagine going back? What do you see for yourself?
Like going back to the
Philippines? Well, to the Philippines. Yeah, I know. And it's very early. You're a young lady, so you have the whole rest of your life to figure that out. And you don't have to, like, give me your grand plan. But do you have any feeling for where you might be or what you might want to do later outside of the work that you're doing now?
Moving back there, I don't think so.
No?
I okay. think I will just go there for vacations. I'm not sure about retirement, but that's like...
Yeah, that's the way...
Way...
And is that because there's more opportunity here, you
yes.
know, financially and otherwise?
Mm-hmm. I would
okay.
say that because
okay.
Right now I'm still in contact with all of my families there, especially with my
mm-hmm.
cousins, and they're
mm-hmm.
having a difficult time, you know,
yeah.
looking for jobs. And
yeah.
they actually, their qualifications is too high. Like, you know, you work for a Jollibee or like a fast food chain,
mm-hmm.
you need to have a bachelor's degree.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But that is that's a fantasy
situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. And here, you actually don't
need the bachelor.
Yeah, as long as you have the skills, you're willing
yeah.
to learn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there are better opportunities here, I
mm-hmm.
would say.
Mm-hmm.
So my plans for now is to actually stay in Kodiak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the same way. I don't think I'll retire in the Philippines or,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm close. I'm sorry.
No, yeah.
You know, I'm into that situation. At first, yeah, when I was in my 40s,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to go back to the Philippines
mm-hmm.
and live there.
Mm-hmm.
But realized that living in the Philippines is kind of hard. Even if I had the retirement,
mm-hmm.
the first thing that, you know, now that I'm close to the retirement, everything, all the plans has changed.
Yeah.
At first, I wanted to retire there because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I can pay someone
yeah.
for $100 for, you know, to cook, to wash everything, you know,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
wash my clothes and, you know, take care of whatever needs to take care of. But now that I'm in this age, I'm thinking about my health.
Mm-hmm.
So if I get
mm-hmm.
sick, if I don't have the money.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
They want to be, I mean, they'll. I can't be seen by a very... what do you call this? I can't see a good doctor.
Mm-hmm.
It would be more of like the lower class
mm-hmm.
doctor. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's the downside of the Philippines, that they should probably, that's one thing that they should think about is the medical side of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's so much.
Yeah. And
there's so much to improve upon for regular
yeah.
people over there, which
yeah.
is of course why you're all over here.
Yeah.
Why my grandfather came, why, you
mm-hmm.
know.
But
yeah.
at this time, no, I think I would, you know, retire here in the
yeah.
state.
Yeah,
it's kind of hard to, you know,
imagine
even if the dollar mm-hmm. changes, you know, if you
mm-hmm.
have a dollar equivalent to, you know, almost 60 pesos,
mm-hmm.
I mean, might get you a long way,
mm-hmm.
but it's the health that I think
yeah.
of. You know, if they had a better system to where, you know, we could use our Medicare here
mm-hmm.
in the state
mm-hmm.
and use that as our insurance
mm-hmm.
and not be charged. Because there, if you don't have the money,
you're going to pay for it.
You
yeah.
have to pay for it. And not everybody has that kind of money.
No, they don't.
You know.
So, Nita, I would like to turn it over to you and ask you some questions.
How do you relate to being American and or Filipina?
I think I'm more maybe 60% Filipinos, 40% American.
Okay.
We're just so fortunate that we live here in Kodiak
yeah.
where everyone is equal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so and
mm-hmm.
like I said, I was given the opportunity to work with the municipality of
mm-hmm.
Kodiak, so
mm-hmm.
I think that's part of my American side.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
But
you have roots.
Yes, yes. I'm also involved with the Kodiak Filipino American Association,
mm-hmm.
and so
pretty soon we're going to have a new induction of officers. That's October, coming up in October 15th. So
soon.
That's my Filipino. And also, I still believe in respect.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's part of American too, but more on the Filipino side.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot forget about the Filipino side, even though we live here in America for so long.
What about you? How do you've been here for such a long time. Do you feel more American or more Filipino?
Filipino.
Yeah, tell me.
Well, the only thing is like every time because it mostly over here there's a lot of Filipino.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the only thing that I do is keep doing all the Filipino things.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to Filipino about especially the young one. I was telling to them how to do Filipino's way. Like teaching them also. Still like, you know, I'm still like a Filipino. Doing everything like talking. If I'm talking to the old person, I was keep saying, Opo. I'm still doing all the stuff.
So you are really rooted. That's so incredible in so many years that you've been here and you are... Is the word Pinay?
Pinay, yes, Pinay. Yes, yes. We are 100%
Pinay. Pinay, I love it. Well, thank you so much for your incredible stories and to be continued, right?
Yes, definitely.